This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, the most sexually charged gaming podcast on the internet.
I feel violated already.
My name is Elliot. I'm joined by Cameron.
Hi,
the combination
Elliot.
Will never die.
Yeah, it's the A-Team now.
Yeah. Oh, is that what we are?
Yeah, we're the A-Team.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Take over.
This week on the show, we want to talk about like gaming evolutions. So what I mean by that is when a game releases, and it might be a mediocre product or it's something that wasn't very popular.
Or it could just be terrible.
Yep. And then the developers have come back to it and said, well, let's fix this. And they have patches and they have expansions and they do whatever they need to do that totally shifts the game from this product into a new landscape that is either much more popular, much more successful, or just much more critically acclaimed.
But I also think that also changes the face of gameplay with it. Like mm-hmm. how the game is played adapts because
yeah.
of these changes.
We're not talking about subtle things. We're not talking about just like a patch that hot fixes some glitch. We're talking about real game-changing differences between one version of the game to the next.
Yeah, and there's quite a few out there, especially in modern gaming with so many things having much longer lives because of online gaming.
Exactly,
It's way easier for developers to go, right, well, this game's been out for a little while and we see that everyone's having a problem with this, so mm-hmm. let's reevaluate and evolve with the industry.
That'll be the word of the day. I think today will be evolve.
We'll see how many times evolution.
We'll see how many times it comes up in this particular podcast. But obviously, a lot of games have done this, right? Like, look at something like World of Warcraft, which is like 15 years old, and it has had so many expansions and updates that the game that it is today is considerably different from the game that it was on release.
Oh yeah, I remember back in the day, there was no like markers to find things in quests. You had to like speak to someone and be like, oh no, you want to go to this area and look for this area and then you'll find the entrance to the dungeon. I'm like, oh, okay. Whereas these days it's like, there is a dungeon. It is here. Go to this spot. Big neon light. Come here.
But don't forget, sometimes people like the original versions of things. That's why you see stuff like Vanilla WoW and old school RuneScape take this like kind of comeback, because people really were nostalgic for the original product. But we don't want to talk about MMOs too much because I think MMOs will do this a lot. What doesn't do this so much is like just every other kind of genre of game. So why don't we start with Fortnite? Because this is a game both me and yourself are very familiar with.
Yeah, we were really early adopters to Fortnite. We jumped in headlong. We probably don't play it as much as Luke does. He, I think, is still playing it very regularly.
We play it
on and off. But for ages, it was just kind of pottering along. And then PUBG got big.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, kept simmering and simmering. And there weren't updates for a month. And people were like, that's weird. Nothing's been updated. Because they were doing a lot of updates during it. And then, completely left of field, they drop Battle Royale.
Yeah.
And it was announced and then released a couple days later.
Fortnite Battle Royale came out. And basically, the original Fortnite was this PvE mode where you were making these barricades and like there'd be hordes of zombies coming and you'd set up traps and you'd kill them.
All cooperative. You only fought against the AI enemies.
Yeah, so it was PvE rather than PvP.
Yes.
And then they dropped Fortnite Battle Royale, and the original game is still there, don't get us wrong, but their entire attention to development has been shifted to the Battle Royale version of this game.
Big time.
And now when you hear the name Fortnite, you're not even thinking about PvE, because the Battle Royale version of this game is about 20 times as popular as the PvE version, and it's just, that's where their focus is, that's what Fortnite now is.
Which is a little upsetting, because I feel like the original could use, like, the original, they haven't completely ignored the original. There's still updates for it, there's still stuff changing.
So
they
slow.
Still try to keep it alive, but it's not getting the love that Battle Royale is, and that's because Battle Royale blew up.
Look, I don't blame them, you have to go where the money is, realistically, but it's such a shame, because especially because the Battle Royale version of the game is completely free, whereas I had to pay. Well, actually, I didn't, because I got a review copy. But if other people would have had to have paid for the PvE version of the game, and they're kind of being left in the dark here, because their version isn't really getting the updates it needs. Because that game, the PvE version, needs those updates. It is not a perfect game. It was fun, but it was so imperfect that it Yeah.
It's... Well, it's also early access. So the whole point of it being available and us paying for it was that it's early access and we're going to help with the updating of it. And then it will be free to play when it officially releases in July. That was the last time I heard that it was officially releasing was July. I've not heard any update on that. So if now all the attention is going to Battle Royale, is it going to be ready for this July release and be a polished enough game?
Or did they just not care enough and they'll release it, but it will be basically the same game it was on launch?
Yeah, which I don't know. It's a pity.
Either way, you can see that giant evolution happened within its lifetime, like in this post-release kind of state. Well, kind of post-release, because it is technically early access, but they were selling it full price retail, so it kind of feels like post-release to me. To be honest.
I would say it's post-release, because it didn't exist when the game was being made originally. Like, before it was given to the public to play, this Battle Royale didn't exist.
Yeah. Now, to my knowledge, a lot of the other games we're talking about won't have made such a drastic shift as far as, like, into a different genre of games. A lot of them just get a lot of really awesome updates that go from 0 to 10, basically, and it's like, this is what the game needed. If this was on release, this would have been a popular game.
Yeah, and I think, so I'd like to talk about one that I think this was a huge thing about, which was Final Fantasy XIV, which now goes by Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn. It had a title change.
The evolution is literally in the title.
Yeah, because Reborn. 14 came out, and it was so boring. Mm-hmm. It was badly optimized. The gameplay wasn't fun. The story was all right, like, but Final Fantasy have always had a way with doing a story that is good, if passable at some times. But the actual gameplay was no fun. No one was having fun with it. So they made the decision to take the game offline and then build it again, not from the ground up, but from about the ankles up.
Mm-hmm.
They redid so much of it. And what they did was, rather than just take it offline and then move on, they basically had a giant event on the last day the servers would be up before the release where they dropped a comet on the world.
Right.
It exploded, everything died. But then the whole point is that at the very end, they were shown a cutscene where a handful of heroes were whisked away to safety. And then you start the next, when it came out as Realm Reborn, you're these characters that were whisked to safety.
Wow, they really did just start again, didn't
they? Yeah, they really... But
they weren't even subtle about it. It's like, comet drop!
But I think it worked in their favor because they were really honest about the fact they're like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
Let's go again. It's the same game. It's still Final Fantasy XIV. It's still a lot of the mechanics that you know. It's still an MMO. But let's go again. Let's try this again. Mm-hmm. And what they released... I lost a lot of time to Final Fantasy A Realm Reborn when it came out the second time.
Yeah.
It's a good MMO. It is a phenomenal MMO. If people are looking for an MMO and happy for a subscription fee, it's definitely one that's going strong. And they release content consistently since this. It's got a really long lifespan and it's been kicking for years now. I would say it's probably, I would go on record as saying it's probably in the top 3, maybe top 5 MMOs that are around?
Potentially. I couldn't argue against that. I'm not a huge MMO
person. But I think it's done really well for itself to rebrand. And it's a success story where they did the right thing. Rather than just like let it limp on and die somewhere down the line, they went, no, let's cut the leg off and give it a bionic leg.
Yeah.
This is a weird analogy.
No, I liked it. I was really digging that.
What about you? What about, like, are there any games that you've played where it's become really obvious that the original format just isn't working?
I don't know that I have any that are as drastic as the last two we mentioned, but there are definitely games that have had updates to their gameplay and to just the systems put in place that considerably changes the game. The Civilization franchise comes to mind immediately when I think of this, because unfortunately what happens with Civilization games is they get these gigantic expansions that make such a huge difference to the game and add so much depth to the gameplay systems that by the time they release the next iteration or the next Civ game, the game is actually worse than the previous game because the previous game had all these expansions and extra content added.
Right, so you feel like you're pared back.
Yeah, so it feels like it's like one step back, but then they'll crawl back forward with more expansions and you'll probably at a better place by the end. But so Civilization V pops to mind. The game released, and it was kind of a little bit disappointing. Like, there were some cool updates that came with Civ 5, but like Civ 4 had this depth to it that Civ 5 couldn't even come close to achieving. And like entire systems were like scrapped, and they weren't even in Civ 5. Like, there was no religion in the base, the vanilla version of Civ 5, which is just so odd that they didn't even bother. And then they had to release expansions. So the Gods and Kings expansion, which was the first one, reinvented or reintroduced religion into the game. And it's like, okay, finally we're getting back on track. And then they did another expansion which added even more to the game. And it's like, okay, we're now at a place where Civ 5 feels like the best version of Civilization. And all of a sudden now it's like, yeah, this is the game we want to play. This is now a very good game.
But does that just teach fans of the Civilization franchise that early adoption is bad?
Unfortunately, absolutely. And like, there's hesitation around early adoption. They kind of addressed it in Civ 6 because that game, as a vanilla version, had just a lot more to it than what was previous. But even still, like, there's stuff missing. Okay. And so it's still going to be one of those games that expansions really help it out throughout its lifetime.
It's funny you should say that, because this sounds very similar to what happened with Destiny versus Destiny 2. Now, I reviewed Destiny 2 last year. I gave it a fairly positive review. I still stand by a lot of what I said, but I kind of miss original Destiny.
Ooh, how come?
I miss a lot. I miss a few things. I miss in terms of the depth that they put into with a lot of the systems. So in Destiny 2, they removed a lot of the randomization in weapons. So weapons drop almost identical. Well, they were. They were dropping identical regardless. Every time you got like this specific gun, it was the exact same stats.
Right.
In Destiny 2, the whole point was that you were grinding to get that gun, but with the stats that work for you. So with perks such as faster reloading, steadier down scope, that kind of thing. And that was gone. So it was, and their reasoning was to kind of, you know, normalize the guns and not give anyone an unfair advantage, and, you know, have people not wanting to use a gun because they can't get the specific stats they want. But instead, it just kind of hollowed out the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny 2 still does a lot of things right compared to Destiny, but Destiny, when it finished up, had two major expansions and three minor expansions. No, two minor expansions, two major expansions. And so there was a lot of content and a lot of things to do. I've not played Destiny 2 now for a few weeks because I'm just kind of like, I just want new stuff to do. And so I'm wondering, well, do I just wait for the next major update, which is when in the timeline of original Destiny, they learnt from the mistakes of the launch. They changed currency systems so that it was more fun. And that was a big thing. They injected more fun into the game. This time, again, like I enjoy the moment-to-moment shooting in Destiny. One thing it does right is really good shooting, but it's all the mechanics around it that have kind of feel empty and pointless. And
so you're hoping for a huge Destiny 2 evolution, much like the original Destiny had that kind of evolution.
And the thing is, so is the fan base. Yeah. You go onto the blogs of like really fanatic players, and they're all talking about the fact that they're hoping that we see the same thing happen with Destiny 2 that we saw with original Destiny.
Mm.
And that a lot of them have actually gone back to just play original Destiny. So lucky the servers are still on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Yeah. But another one, like Warframe. Yeah. Whenever I think Destiny, I think Warframe. They're kind of similar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, space magic
looter shooter.
Looter shooter. Warframe blew everyone away last year. So Warframe has a really big fan base. Luke has just joined it recently. I was in it when I first got my PlayStation 4 because it was a free game for my very expensive PlayStation 4 that looked nice and was a lot of fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
More games came out and it fell to the wayside and I stopped. It used to be a very like tight corridor, run and gun. You run the same missions over and over and over and over and over. Recently, I think just towards the end of last year, they released an update that basically created these big, open, expansive worlds. They changed the way currency works. They brought in flight so that you could attach like this kind of jetpack wing thing.
Ooh.
And fly around in battle.
That's what I'm all about.
They gave you pets that you could take into battle with you. Like,
it feels like they're learning from all the other games that are kind of around them.
Yeah, and so I'd say if you played original Warframe, having gone and looked at the... right now it is sitting in my, oh, do I download it or do I not? Do I have the time with, you know, we're about to get into review seasons. Like, can I commit to a game that requires, you know, a fairly regular activity in it? And it's sitting there, and I went, I watched a lot of the video, and it's not the same game I remember playing. Like, it is the same game, but yep. I can see how far
I jumped into Warframe basically as it released. And I remember thinking, this is a good game for a free game, but it's not going to be something that I'm going to continue to enjoy and play.
Yeah.
Little did I know that they would change this game so much that it becomes this behemoth of a game that is really competing with the big boys in that genre.
It has its own convention.
That doesn't surprise me.
I think it's like FrameCon NexusCon or something. I don't know. It's crazy. It's great to see. But there are other games that like have made changes. We were talking about like GTA.
Yeah, so GTA had this basically shift in mentality, I think, is what this was. So GTA 5 release, and it was a really good game, actually, as far as a single player goes. But what the GTA games traditionally would do was release post-release content, DLC, expansions, whatever, keep players engaged in that way. But GTA 5 didn't do that because they saw the potential for an online market that was going to be more monetarily valuable to them. So instead, they shifted their entire focus off the single player, and they were like, okay, GTA 5 Online, this is now what we're doing. And so you see update after update after update for GTA 5 Online, and a really flourishing, successful online base who are engaged in this product. And it is really this evolution of thought processes, because, you know, they went into GTA 5 expecting to do what they did with GTA 4, but what they ended up doing was something completely different that they're now going to take into Red Dead Redemption 2 as well.
Yeah, Red Dead is totally going to be affected by this in some way, which in some ways is a little bit of a pity. It's this weird blend of the kind of over-the-shoulder shooter and MMOs in that sense of that kind of open world running around with people, but some people don't want to play with other people. And, you know, the GTA...
I'm totally on that boat. Like, I'm disappointed by this refocusing.
Yeah.
Because this might be successful for them as far as a player base or as far as like the money they're bringing in. But critically speaking, like, I don't know. I really wanted more content for the single player.
I'm excited to see what they do with an online for Red Dead, because that's clearly going to happen. But I'm hoping that we don't see just all of the focus then going to the online like it has with GTA, because I want something similar to Undead Nightmare to come to Red Dead too. Not zombies. I want like Cthulhu or Aliens or something like that.
I could
not
deal zombies, with the I'm Cthulhu. Sick of zombies.
But yeah, you know, like, and I worry that if we're going to be focusing completely on online gameplay, we lose that.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, that sucks.
We are going to wrap this up soon, but there is one more I really want to quickly touch on, which is Diablo 3. This game had a similar evolution in that it released to like fairly mediocre response. Like, I think people enjoyed it. I definitely played it as soon as it came out, and I enjoyed it a little bit.
It was all right.
But I would play through it once for the single player, and that was it.
Yep.
Which is not how I dealt with Diablo 2. Diablo 2 had me engaged for so long, and I was grinding for the best gear and whatnot. But Diablo 3, I didn't care. And part of the reason I didn't care is because they had systems in place, such as the real-world auction house, which was like where you could pay real money and buy like the best gear in the game. And it's like, well, what's the point? Like, if I'm comparing myself to these people who have just purchased the best gear, then it's like, I don't care anymore. Like, there goes any ambition for me to actually strive to be the best or strive to compete in any kind of online space. But they totally scrapped that. They were like, this was a terrible idea. It was greedy. So let's get rid of that. Players aren't engaged in it. And on top of that, they just did update after update after update, including refocusing more on kind of online and continual play. So they introduced like seasons, for example, where there was like new content coming out and like you could restart a new character in a new season, and the rewards and stuff that came with that meant that players were so much more engaged in the game, because the gameplay was fine. It was just keeping people engaged in the game that was really challenging for Diablo when it first launched.
It's that same problem that Destiny had. The moment to moment, you're enjoying, you're having fun fighting, but then as soon as you pass that, what
else is there? It's like, now what? Yes. But they, Diablo 3 totally fixed that issue and fixed a lot of other issues within the game too. Like, this is the kind of game that continued with expansions and patches and fixes that really helped it shine, I think.
Well, it only just had an update last BlizzCon, didn't it, with the release of a new character, and that's well after its release.
Is it the Necromancer? Yeah, see, Necromancer, I haven't actually played it in a while, but yeah, the Necromancer, like, yeah, they're, obviously the game is successful because it's popular. Releasing content, and it's really cool that they're doing that.
When they announced that, I was surprised because I didn't realize it was that popular still.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. They really fixed that game. Mm. I think if they hadn't touched it, we would see Diablo 3 dead in the water by now. But it is actually thriving because they decided to stick with this trend of gaming evolutions where it's like, no, we won't give up on this product. We'll fix the issues and actually get players to be, you know, enjoying their experience within the game.
Awesome.
Anyway, that's all the time we've got. Cameron, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for evolving with me, Elliot.
No problem. We will be back next week for another Checkpoint Intimates.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.